what could potentially be in Canada's budget a bit later on. There's people worried in the upper echelon of our tax bracket. I'll let you know where we were last time out, the last budget. People that make over $246,752 pay 33% on their other income, a 16.5% capital gains tax. And that's about how far we've ever pushed it. We haven't gone where other countries have gone. France is an example. The UK has a really tight margin, depending on how you a tight tax rate, given how long you live in the country. So there's a lot to all this. But there's obviously a bit of a drip and a hint of sort of air testing this and seeing where it goes. 4 o'clock, we'll get a better sense today as to whether or not we're taxing the rich a little more heavily than we are. And then how do the rich react if they own businesses, if they have options in other countries? We're about to find out in the next several hours. Martin Pelletier is a chartered financial analyst and senior portfolio manager at Wellington Altus Private Counsel. We've been wanting to get him on the show for a while, and we've got him now. Martin, thanks very much for the time today. I appreciate it.
You betcha. Good morning.
What are your expectations when you hear wealth tax or tax the rich? Or we've got to have a balancing act, don't we? I don't think anybody argues that maybe someone, I used this example earlier, someone who makes 600 grand should probably pay a slightly higher percentage than 60 grand. But we've got to be cautious about where we go beyond that, I would bet.
Whenever I hear our fair share, I've seen it in Alberta. I've seen it in other jurisdictions. Whenever I hear those words come out, any sort of economic gains are lost quickly from the policy itself, from unintended consequences. And so it just takes time to see it play out, and then the policies end up getting withdrawn. And so I wrote a piece in the Financial Post, in my column this week, about gambling. And I think that our federal government is gambling our future for the near-term gains. They're really struggling in the polls, and they're using a fiscal policy to help them along those lines with increased spending. But their hands are tied with the Bank of Canada and interest rates and other factors. And so they have to find ways to offset that increased spending. And so they're going to go after the minority that can, you know, saying that they can pay a little bit more. But, you know, in the end, you know, we've had large foreign capital outflows, and the only capital that we have is internal. And now you're going to encourage them to leave as well, too.
It might amaze our listeners, Martin. We have 63 billionaires in Canada, just 63. In a nation of 40 plus million people, the States has close to 800. So it's a lot more than a 10-to-1 ratio. So we do have to be cautious about this, because they do play a role in whether it's they move themselves and we lose their income tax, or they pick up a company and move it to where taxes are more favorable. Again, that's what you're laying out, the unintended consequence of this potentially.
Yeah, and so all you have to do is look at the facts, and you even mentioned some other jurisdictions. You look at France, for example. 2016, they lost 12,000 millionaires. They lost 60,000 millionaires from 2000 to 2016. And so as a result, total revenue after factoring in lost VAT and income tax was actually quite negative after they implemented that millionaires tax. And so you have to look at the long-term consequences of such policy. And instead, you know, we have a country right now that has had 18 consecutive months of negative GDP per capita growth. Our productivity on a provincial level ranks among the lowest 52 states when we're comparing ourselves. And so we've got some serious economic issues. And you tell me, how are taxes going to fix those issues?
I often defend the Trudeau government post the pandemic. We could all argue about pandemic restrictions. We could argue about how they handled things economically. But inflation's obviously been a global problem. Stimulating people to leave home to go to the office, again, a global problem. But I do see elements, Martin, where we have a federal government that's just plain addicted to spending. And a lot of other governments, with how the last 2 years have been coming out of the depths of the pandemic, Europe, the United States, they've somehow, some way figured out how to strike a balance here. Why do you think this one hasn't? They know that people hate the spending and that they're now unpopular.
Well, it's more along the lines of what's how that spending is being directed and how it's transforming our economy. And so I agree with you completely. Any government was facing an insurmountable challenge. And, you know, we're facing consequences of those lockdowns. And we have the power of hindsight here, knowing that we could have done some different things. But in the moment, you have to certainly cut them some credit. Or some slack, sorry, yeah. And give them some credit for what they've done. And so, but you have to take a look at how they're trying to, there's an agenda here and how they're redirecting this funding and policy. So when the government came into power, they directly, the first thing they did went after small business owners. Small business owners are the innovators, the people that invest in other people and create and innovate. They're the ones that go up against the oligopolies that they call the enemies. That reason why we're paying a lot of money with telcos and grocery stores is small business will go in and disrupt it. And so they call them tax cheats right off the get-go. And since 2000, Trudeau's been elected, he's grown the civil service by 45%. Hasn't been done before. And then at the same time, you're letting in, and I'm pro-immigration, absolutely, yeah. But John Daly did a really good update on his show about this, and it's getting attention in other jurisdictions. And so, you know, we let in a million people in 9 months, and what did we build, 150,000 homes? Of course there's going to be some consequences. And so these are the issues that Canadians, it's not necessarily about, you know, you're spending way too much. It's about you're waking up. I can't buy a house anymore. I can't afford to go to the grocery store. There's no jobs that are paying me enough. And, you know, you're going to be blaming the big oil or big grocery stores and everything else. The bottom line is that the policies just aren't working.
Martin, I want to ask you about the NDP's influence here and document that I think I understood why Jagmeet Singh was utilizing leverage. I feel like when you have it politically, you better use it. It may never come around again. That said, policies I would defend, like doing more to expand dental care out to people who can't afford it. I think that has its place. But how much of the Liberal spending do you look at and you say, this has to be somebody else influencing them? This has to be the NDP pushing them hard and the Liberals thinking we absolutely need this support or we'll have to call an election. How much of this is influencing the spending?
I just think everybody's gambling and you know, making short-term bets. And yeah, that could be it, or there could be other factors. We don't know, but they're gambling because they're quite desperate. It's sort of like if you're betting and you're down, you've lost half your money. Well, now you're going to take greater risks to try and get that money back again. And that's exactly the situation that the federal government is in. They've lost a lot of money. They've implemented some pretty terrible policies. Some, you know, certainly, like I mentioned earlier, you can cut them some slack on. But now they're going all in ahead of an election year to try and get it back, and that never works out.
Martin Pelletier, our guest, you can read his most recent column. It's a very entertaining one at that and the Financial Post, but smart stuff. We've been wanting to get you on for a while. Appreciate you making the time. Thanks for doing this.
You betcha. Take care.
Martin Pelletier, our guest.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.